You're listening to the Message Podcast of High Ridge Church Longview, where our vision is to help you know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and ultimately make a difference. We are so glad that you're here, and we pray that this message impacts your life as you apply the spiritual truths from God's Word in practical ways. Let's listen in.
Thank you so much. Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to church. I am glad that you made it. Let's welcome in all of our friends watching from all around the world. Come on, with a big round of applause. Good morning to you. We have people watching from all across the great state of Texas. We have people watching from other states as well, though they are much more inferior than the great state of Texas. We're still glad that you're here. People watching from Costa Rica. Hey, Jimmy, what's up? We have people watching from France. Hello to the Barry family. Hey, we're glad that you guys tuned in. If you like what you're hearing today, if you like what you're watching, don't forget to click that share button at the bottom. It always means a lot to us when you do that. We're going to turn our attention now to the Word of God, and we believe that God has something to say to us today. Come on, do you believe that? God's got something to speak to you today. So Luke chapter 19 is where we're going to go. Luke chapter 19, and as we turn there, I want to say a very special thank you for all of you who are so generous to our church. Trusting us with your finances is a big deal, and it is not lost on me that there are many, many churches that have let you down financially and have done a lot of crazy things. Let me just say thank you for trusting us with your finances, for giving here. It's making a difference, not just here in Longview, but all around the world. And it is a huge honor for me to be able to stand here and say thank you for what you're doing. I appreciate that so very, very much for your generosity. I also want to remind you, hey, Easter is coming up. Come on, somebody. Next week is Easter Sunday. We've got five services. I want you to think about and pray about rearranging yourself and making sure that you come here with the attitude of there's going to be a lot of people, and so I might need to give up my seat. I want to make sure that everybody has room to come, especially if they're first-time guests. We want to make sure that as many people get to hear the gospel as possible. So if you wouldn't mind, if you want to move to one of the bookend services, the 8 a.m. or maybe the 12 o'clock service, that would be awesome. They're going to have a little bit more room. But the middle services, just come early, and knowing that you might not have a parking space, you might need to give up your seat, but that's okay. We believe that this city needs some Jesus. They need a healthy church. And we believe that next week, God is going to meet a lot of people right where they are. Amen? Amen. So Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. I want to bring a message today called Enjoy the Ride. Come on, look at the person next to you and say, Enjoy the Ride. Enjoy the ride. Look at your second choice and say, That was weird. I'm sorry. I should have. I don't even know you, man. Enjoy the ride. So as we're approaching Holy Week, I want to remind you of a couple things. This is Jesus announcing himself as Messiah, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. And up until this point in Jesus's ministry, he'd always kind of shied away from the Messiah talk and the King of Kings talk just because he had a lot of other things that had to be done before this moment. But until the ride happens into Jerusalem, until that moment, Jesus has been in the shadows until right now. He just raised Lazarus from the dead. Word is spreading, and now Jesus comes into the city as King of Kings. So people are freaking out. There's a big parade happening in his honor. And everything that happens from this moment on is the last week of Jesus' time here on earth. This is his last week before his crucifixion. So he doesn't have time to waste. And Jesus does everything with great intentionality. This is important for us because Jesus ain't wasting time. Everything he does is of supreme importance so that those that are watching his story, so that those that are recording his story, so that we could read it thousands of years later would know exactly what to do during the times of our life where we're having to walk through similar circumstances. Jesus knew his death was coming and he did everything with great intentionality. And so as we pick up the story in Luke 19, I want you to know that there are a ton of things that are jumping out of this scripture that speak to us today, things that we need to know about what is called the triumphal entry, Jesus coming into the city as people are throwing down palm branches in front of this donkey's colt and as they're throwing down their cloaks in front of Jesus and saying, our king has come, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. There's a lot of things in that story that still speak to us today. It's not just a story. It's more than just words on a page. It helps us to meet Jesus right where we are today. Is that okay, everybody? Yes. So let's dig in together. Let's pick it up, if we would, in verse 29. It says, as he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt there which no one has ever ridden. Untie it, and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Just say, the Lord needs it. Now, if you don't read that and have a little giggle, like put yourself in their position for just a moment. I want you to go here and borrow this colt. And if anybody asks you, just say, the Lord needs it. Can you imagine trying to get away with that today? What you doing with my car? Like, the Lord needs it. You going to jail, that's what's happening. The Lord needs it. Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he told them. That's important. As they were untying the colt, the owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? And they said, the Lord needs it. It's important that we recognize they said exactly what the Lord told them to say, and it worked. Right? God's word doesn't need your spin. It doesn't need your hype. Just say what he says. The Lord needs it. And they brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and they put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks along the road. And when he came near the place where the road goes down, the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles that they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, they said. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Your Bible may say, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David. This is a big deal. The city erupted because Jesus just walked in to the city announcing himself as the new king. There's a new sheriff in town, and crazy things began to happen the moment that Jesus showed up. And let me just tell you, crazy things still happen when Jesus shows up. And there are a lot of wonderful things that I think are important for us to apply to our lives that come from this story. So I don't know about you, but I was raised as a Gen Xer, and we were kind of the last generation before the internet. We're the last generation before things like animal rights. And the things that my parents raised me up with are illegal today. Like, you can't do it. And this is what happened. I went to the zoo one time, and my parents, at about the age of 3 or 4, put me on the back of a turtle. There used to be a time you could just ride a turtle around. Did you know that? This 150-year-old turtle, you could just put your kids on the back of them, and here he goes. Is there anyone else that's ever ridden on a turtle? Where's my Gen Xers at? You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, there's a few of us. It's a weird experience, let me just tell you, but that used to happen. Now it's considered cruel, and I get it. But back in the day, it's a turtle. Put your kids on it. That was a thing. And then also I went to the circus one time and we got to ride on an elephant. There was a time where you could just throw your kids on the back of a dinosaur. And this massive elephant would just walk around in a circle. You could get on the back of an elephant. And like, I want to ride the lion. Like, oh, that's probably too much. But there is a massive difference in perspective between riding on a turtle and riding on an elephant. Right, when you're riding on a turtle, you're just like, this is kind of weird. What am I doing? Why is everyone taking pictures of me? But when you're riding on an elephant, you feel like you're the king of the world. You're looking down upon all the peasants. And you're thinking, I could take this thing home. Like, this is an awesome moment. And so notice that Jesus does not come into Jerusalem riding on a horse. He doesn't come in on the steed of a king. He comes in on the steed of a servant. He comes in riding a donkey, and the story goes even one step deeper. It's not just a donkey, it's a little donkey. It's a new one. That's a little strange to me. Picture this in your mind. Have you ever, those of you that are parents, when you taught your kids how to ride a bicycle, did you ever sit on your kid's bicycle and just have to kind of just stand next to it? You know what I'm talking about? Because it's so small. I wonder if Jesus was dragging his feet as he's walking in there like, this thing is, because this is tiny. And the story makes sure that we see it. In all four Gospels, it's recorded as, this is not some full-grown donkey. This is the little one. That's important for us to understand. Jesus rides the colt that had never been ridden. He borrows it, and he sends his disciples ahead to go get it. And I can imagine in that moment of Jesus sitting on top of this tiny little thing that His disciples are looking at each other like, this is probably not a good PR move for us. This doesn't look right. That's a little weird. Because this is a full-grown man on top of this little thing, barely the size of a big dog, you know? Like, is this the look that we want for him? You sure he picked this one? Surely there was another one. Like, where was the bigger one? No. He chooses the smaller one. And he does it to prove a point, even if it wasn't the right look. How do you put a PR spin on that? I imagine the disciples looking at each other and saying things like, I am glad nobody has camera phones right about now. Because when we tell the story, he came in riding a huge white horse, like the king that he is. But that's not the story. And so in this moment, we find Jesus riding on a donkey as he comes into the city. And I want to give us four things that apply to us right where we are. As a matter of fact, we're going to call it four keys to a great relationship with Jesus. I believe that everyone in this place wants a relationship with Jesus. I believe that more than that, we need a relationship with Jesus. Come on, somebody, say amen right there. I need a relationship with Jesus. But more than a relationship, I want a great relationship with Jesus. I want to know him. I want to know his voice. I want to be able to speak to him and know that he's speaking back to me, to be led by his spirit. I want a great relationship with Jesus, and I hope that you want the same for yourselves. There are four things that we can see from this story that absolutely apply to those of us that want not just a relationship, but a great relationship with Jesus. And here's the first of four things that I want to show you. Number one, it's the word that does the work. The word does the work. Now, this is important because if you want a great relationship with Jesus, you're going to find yourself in a place where you think, I'm the one that has to do all the work. But remember this. It's the word that does the work that enables you to be able to do what God has called you to do. When Jesus sends his word, when Jesus gives you, you a word, it's our response to that word. It's not about you doing the work. It's about the work that was done so that you could work in response. It's the word that does the work. So notice when Jesus sends his two disciples to the village ahead of them, he says, I want you to go with nothing more than the word and find the colt that has never been ridden, and bring it to me. Now, if you read the story like I do, you know that that's a strange request. I can imagine in that moment the things that I would have said, like, wait a minute, Jesus, we're just gonna borrow? Because where I'm from, Jesus, depending on which state you're in, that could either be, you know, Grand Theft Auto or cattle rustling. Like, what are we talking about here? But Jesus gave them the word, and the word did the work. Jesus knew exactly where this donkey was, and he knows exactly where you are, by the way. He knows which one he wants, and he sends his disciples with nothing more than a word to guide them. Why is this so important for us to know today? Because if you haven't fallen deeply and madly in love with the word of God, you do not have a great relationship with Jesus. Your relationship with Christ is going to be very superficial. It's going to depend upon your circumstances. It's going to depend upon whether you really want to seek him or not. And the moment that you start falling madly and deeply in love with the word of God, you'll realize this word does the work. I just respond to what his word tells me to do. The word does the work. Jesus himself, by telling his disciples to go and find this colt, he did a couple things. He predicted that they're gonna have opposition and they're gonna have questions. Sound like your life and my life? Jesus knew you're gonna have opposition and you're gonna have questions. What does he do? He gives us his word. The word does the work. You're gonna have opposition. You're gonna have questions. Let me say it this way. Following Jesus's plan for my life comes with opposition and lots of questions, but his word helps keep me on mission. The word keeps us on mission. The word does the work. And he tells them, if anybody asks you, just tell them, the Lord needs it. Just the simple fact that he uses the word Lord tells them, I'm in a position of authority. You're not going in your own authority. You're going in the authority of my name. That's a big deal. You see, I've got a name that might carry a little authority in my family. It might carry some authority in this church, but it has no authority outside the name of Jesus to do anything in the spiritual realm except just get me killed. You've got a name. Your name might mean something to a lot of people. Your name is nothing compared to the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. It does what your name can't do. And Jesus says, use the words I've given you and then use the name. Use the word, use the name. Those principles are still very, very critical in the life of anyone that wants a great relationship with Jesus. You've got to know the word. You've got to use the name. Let me say it this way. In every trial, know the word, use the name. Know the word, Use the name. You can build a great relationship off Jesus by just knowing his word and knowing how to use his name. His name does things that you could not possibly imagine. And it does something great in this story that you may not have thought about. But the reason why people knew that Jesus was coming into town is because those two people said, the Lord needs it. That's the reason why the owners of the colt let him take it. Because they had people to go tell, hey, that King of Kings that we've been waiting for, that Messiah we're waiting for, guess what? He's coming and he's riding my donkey. People show up at the entrance for Christ simply because his disciples did what Jesus told them to do and used the name. Things will begin to happen for you the moment that you begin to turn your heart back towards the word of God and use the name of Jesus. Not as some cuss word or a byword or some word that you're using to curse somebody out. No. Use the name in every opposition. When you've got questions, when you're facing pushback, use the name and the authority of Jesus. Use the name. Use the word. This is how you have a great relationship with Jesus, knowing when to use his name and falling deeply, madly in love with his word. Here's the second key I want to show you from this story that we need to know when you want to have a great relationship with Jesus. Know this. Number two, I don't have to be a pro. This is great news for people like me and people like you. You know, we see the story of Jesus calling his disciples. None of them were professional preachers. I don't know what professional disciple looks like, but they weren't it. As a matter of fact, the things that they were professional at, Jesus reversed that and taught them how to do something else. He said, there's a reason why Jesus says, unless you come like a little child, you're having to kind of learn it all from the beginning. You're not going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. So you've got to let go of what you know in order to have a great relationship with Jesus. And by the way, that's better news than what you're amening. I don't have to be a pro. I don't have to have it all figured out. I don't have to know what I'm doing to still be used by the Lord. He'll help me. He takes people that are unqualified and uses them to do great and mighty things. That's the story of this book. You'll find hundreds of examples of people completely unqualified that God chose to use. I don't need to be a pro, and that's good news. There's a reason why Jesus chose to use a colt that no one had ever ridden on before. Think about it. This colt is untested, unbroken, never been saddled before, and we find it tied up. And Jesus says, that's the one that I want. That's the one. Now, we could talk about this from prophetic angles. We can look back at Zechariah 9. We could look at the book of Genesis. We can go all the way back to the reasons why this is fulfilling a prophecy. But I want to bring it home to you. You know, understand this, that when Jesus uses the colt that had never been ridden before, in that culture, what you would do is you would have one king would ride in on the previous king's animal. But see, this animal had never been ridden before because Jesus' king wasn't given by any man. This was established by God himself. This is important for us to understand. But I want to talk about it in the context of what does this mean to you? I don't need to be a pro. I don't need to have it all figured out. I don't need to be professional at anything except for knowing his word, knowing his name, listening, learning, and letting him lead me. Show me, Lord. Show me what you would have me to know. So that's great news for people like me that have no idea how I even got here. This was not the career plan that I chose for my life. I'm not a pro at anything. But I know Christ, and I'm willing to let him lead. Can you imagine for a moment the first time that they throw a cloak across this animal? If you've had any experience with donkeys, I've not had much experience at all with donkeys, but I have had some experience with horses. And let me just tell you, if you ever have a wild horse or you have something that's never been ridden before, that first time that you put something on their back, it's not going to go well. They ain't used to that, and their answer is usually no. The first time that you throw some kind of a saddle blanket upon an animal, it starts freaking out. They want to roll around in the dirt. They want to get that, they don't like it. And then you've got to work from that to the saddle and then work from that to putting somebody on there that is willing to break a few bones. But there's a reason why they call it breaking a horse. right? You've got to break their will before they will ever accept a rider to tell them where they're going. But this donkey, the first time that they put a coat upon its back and they put Jesus upon his back, he immediately submits to the authority of Jesus. What a great story that we can learn a lot from something that was not used to it, not something that it just comes natural to him to submit. No. It doesn't come natural at all, but he does it. Why? Because it's supernatural. There's a great lesson that it teaches each of us about the authority of Jesus Christ. I don't have to be a pro, but I have to be willing to submit to his authority. And this is where many of us have a lot of issues, because I want Jesus to use me, but I have a hard time submitting. Jesus takes a donkey that's never been ridden before, and that donkey immediately submits to the authority of the Messiah. Let it always be said for us that we're willing to listen to whatever God says and be able to do what he has called us to accomplish. Let that be the kind of people that we are. Instant submission. Even though I don't understand, I don't get it, I've never even done this before, but okay, Jesus, I'm willing to listen. I'm willing to go. I'm willing to give it the good old college try. Let that be said of us, that we're willing to submit. I love that he says, you're going to find this donkey tied up. Jesus knew exactly where this donkey was, knew the right address, knew exactly where it would be, and he predicted, this is where you're going to find it. You know, sometimes it's just a matter of being in the right place. It's not about the skills that you have. It's not about the expertise that you have. Let me say, Jesus didn't choose that donkey for its skills, and he didn't choose you for yours. I heard something one time that says, Jesus, when he called you, he factored in your stupidity. That's good news. Thank you, Lord. You made me this way. I know. I get it. I know me. But Jesus chooses a donkey right where it was, factoring in the fact that it had never been ridden, doesn't know any better, but knows exactly where it is and what its attitude is. He said, that's the one that I choose. May that be said about us. Lord, you know where I am. You can see my attitude. You see, sometimes the best thing you can do is just be in the right place with the right attitude. Sometimes it's just a matter of showing up and being willing to try. Be in the right place with the right attitude. Some of us today are just like, you know what? I'm one for two. I'm in the right place. I believe Sunday morning at church is probably the right place to be. Attitude, I'm working on it. Maybe you preach a little better, I'll get a better attitude. I don't know. Let's see what happens. Sometimes the best thing you can do to have a great relationship with God is just show up and have a good heart check. Okay, Lord, I don't have it all figured out, but I'm willing. And this is where we find a young, untested colt being willing to be used by God. Here's the third key I want to show you. And I'm going to step on your toes just a little bit here. We'll get to some other good stuff right after this, but this is important because if you want to have a great relationship with Jesus, you'll never be able to get past this point without some opposition. Here's number three. If I want to have a great relationship with Jesus, I don't get to choose the direction. I don't get to lead. This is critical in our lives. You can have a relationship with Jesus where you know about him and never make him the Lord of your life. But Lord of your life means he's going to be Lord of all of my life. And this is where we find the rub between us and Christ. Because for many of us, we want to be used by Jesus. We want a great relationship with Jesus. But we also want him to stay away from the things that we want to hold on to. And this is where we find the story that creates a lot of tension, because these people are throwing their palm branches and their coats in front of this colt as he rides with Jesus down the main street. But then Jesus does something a little strange. You see, they believe he's there to be their new king, their savior, the deliverer from Rome. And Jesus takes a hard left turn and goes to the temple. That's a problem. Wait, Jesus, you're going the wrong way. You're here to fix them. There's my problem. And Jesus is like, nah, I'm going to go right here and talk about this religious spirit. Ooh, that's a problem. No, Jesus, fix them. Don't fix us. Fix them. Ever been there? No, not you. That's for those heathens in third service, not for us. No, we're good. You want a great relationship with Jesus? You don't get to choose the direction. Jesus, the palace is this way. Jesus, the problem is this way. Jesus, go fix Washington, D.C. We're good. Let me step on your toes. Jesus takes a hard left and walks toward the temple. Why? Because Jesus didn't come to fix politics. He came to fix our sin problem. That's a big problem for a lot of people today. People don't want to hear that message, but it's the truth. I'm not going to put things into the text that aren't there. And this is what causes people to go from laying down their palm branches and their coats and shouting, Hosanna to the King of Kings, Hosanna to the Son of David, 1 week later to say, crucify him. What happens when God doesn't do what you think he should do? What happens when he doesn't heal like you think he should heal? What happens when he doesn't fix them, but instead wants to fix you? You see, that donkey submitted to the leadership and to the authority of Jesus Christ and went exactly where Christ was leading him, to the temple and not to the palace. Jesus knows what he's doing, and he's still doing the same thing in our hearts today. I hear us still saying, Lord, mess with them, not me. I want a healer, Jesus. I want a deliverer, Jesus. I want a restorer, Jesus. It's that Savior part. That's what we have a problem with. Let me say it this way. We want a God that confronts enemies, not one that confronts sin. Let it sit there for a moment because this is important. You want a great relationship with Jesus? Say yes. Yes. I want a great relationship with Jesus. There has to be a confrontation of my sin for that to happen. He's a holy God. He's calling me to be something more than I could ever become on my own. Lord, fix them. Lord, restore our country. God says, my kingdom's not of this world. This is important for us to hear in 2024. Please hear me. It's important for us to hear in election season. It's important that the weight of the world is not upon Washington, D.C. That's not God's heart. Is that not important? Yes, it's important. Of course it is. But there's something more important. It's your relationship with Jesus. It's you keeping your heart right, you submitting to his authority. Now, there's a reason that we've talked about that Jesus rides this donkey. There's so many different things we could look at here, but it is also interesting that Jesus rides a donkey and not a horse. You see, in this culture, the kings would ride a horse if they were going to war. A horse is a war animal, but they ride a donkey when they're coming in peace. That's a big difference. Jesus didn't come in riding a horse for war. He came in riding peace. Why? Jesus didn't come to bring war between them and Rome. He came to bring peace between you and God. Peace. He's our Prince of Peace. More than political change, we needed a heart change. We needed peace between ourselves and our Father, this holy God. And our sin was there in between us and God's holiness. And Jesus came to bring peace between us and the Father. You see, I don't get to choose the direction. Jesus knows what I need. It may not be what I want, but he knows what I need. You want a great relationship with Jesus? You can't choose the direction. Just have to simply say, Lord, I trust you. I trust you. You know what you're doing. Here's the fourth and final thing. I want to finish up with this. Number four, you want a great relationship with Jesus, you're going to have to get to the simple reality of it's not about me, it's about him. It's not about me, it's about him. It's not about you, it's about him. I can imagine for just a moment, if I put myself in the position of this donkey that's never before been ridden, he doesn't know any better. So Jesus gets on his back. They're marching down through the town and people start throwing out palm branches and they lay out their coats and they're shouting, what a great parade. And that donkey for just a moment surely thought, maybe this is for me. I don't know. I've never done this before. Maybe this is what happens. Maybe I'm a natural. Maybe I'm really good at this. I am doing a good job. Look at this. It's my first time. I've mastered this. I'm good. Can you imagine for a moment what it might have been like for the donkey that doesn't know any better to say, maybe I'm really good. It's easy for us to kind of think the same way when we start doing a few things that are right and taking a few steps of faith and we get away from the simple reality. It's not really about me. It's about him. If you keep that at the forefront of your theology, you're going to find yourself in a great relationship with Jesus. It's about him. I love what John the Baptist says. Like, no, it's about him. He's got to increase. I've got to decrease. I'm not even worthy to tie his sandals. It's about Christ. It's not about me. You see, the greatest part of this donkey's life is who he's carrying. And the same is true for me and you. It's about who's on the inside of you. It's about that relationship that you have with Jesus. That's the most important and beautiful part of your life. King David even said, Lord, your nearness is my good. It's everything that's good about me is based upon my relationship with you. You're the best part of me, Jesus. It's about you. I am nothing without you. In 2012, the Pope was preparing to make his entrance into Latin America. He had a stop off in Guanajuato in Mexico. And of course, the people from all the Latin countries just crowd around, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people crowded around through the city to start this huge parade. And as they were getting ready for the Pope to come around the corner, this is just massive amounts of people. They began to throw out rose petals, began to shout, and the frenzy was building up for the crowd. And there was an award-winning photo that was taken, and I want to show you this photo. Because as the Pope was rounding the corner, this little Mexican stray dog wandered onto the street. And as people began to cheer and to shout and throw out petals of roses, this dog began to look around in confusion, and the dog just began to smile. I want to show you his face. Let's get a little closer. His shoulders went back, and his chest got a little puffed up, and he started walking down the middle of the street like... Cool. This became an award-winning photograph of the dog that upstaged the Pope. They call it the pup staged. You might get that later. But this little dog from the middle of nowhere that for just a moment thought that maybe the parade was for him. And even if he knew that the Pope was coming, it didn't stop him from just enjoying the moment. Let me just tell you, you want a great relationship with Jesus? If you keep it in the back of your mind, Lord, it's about you, it's not about me, then you can still enjoy the ride. You can still have a great, amazing life, knowing that your life is not wasted, knowing that God in all of his wisdom and in his grace would still choose to use a person like me and a person like you. You see, for an old stray dog from the streets of Mexico, something that nobody else cares about, and it's not unusual in any way, for just one day, for just one moment, just one short part of his life, gets to experience what it's like to be encouraged, to get a little parade, and to recognize that that feels pretty good. I want you to remember, it's not about you, really, but you can still enjoy the ride. So I'm here to encourage you today. You want a great relationship with Jesus? It comes in humility, and it comes in recognizing that out of all the people that God could have used, he chose you, and he wants a great relationship with you. And if you keep it in context of who this is all about, you can absolutely enjoy the ride. Can you receive that, everybody? Is that okay? As we finish up today, I want to give you a moment to maybe respond to the Holy Spirit. Would you just take a moment and just bow your head if you would, and we're going to spend just a few minutes just praying. Put away your notes. Put away your phones for just a moment. And if you're watching online and you've enjoyed what you hear, don't forget to click the share button. It always means a lot to us when you do that. And as we finish, I want to just give you a second to ask, Lord, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? And I want to go back to the part of the message that focused on the condition of the people's hearts when Jesus didn't do and go where they thought he should go and didn't do what they thought he should do. I felt a nudge from the Holy Spirit in my heart to just go back to that moment, because I feel like the Holy Spirit wants to just park there for just a moment. Are there things in your life as you're listening to this today that you would say, Lord, I feel that on a deep emotional level that connects with me? There are times in my life where I recognize Jesus didn't do what I thought he should do. And Jesus went to make peace between them and God. And I wonder, is there peace between you and the Lord today? Is there peace in your relationship with God? Or is there something standing in the way of you submitting to the authority of the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Maybe what is standing in the way is something that we call shame. You did something and you've had a hard time forgiving yourself. My friend, if that's you today, there's freedom for you. Or maybe what's standing in the way of you having peace between you and God is something called unforgiveness. Somebody did something to you that hurt you, and you've carried around that unforgiveness, asking the Lord to fix all these other things, but not that. And we've protected it and we've held on to it like a root of bitterness, refusing to allow the Lord to deal with our hearts. So with every head bowed and every eye closed today, I feel an urging and a nudging from the Holy Spirit to present those two words to you: shame and unforgiveness. Am I talking to you? I'm not here to embarrass you in any way, but if there are two things standing in the relationship with your Lord, if either one of those looks like you, shame or unforgiveness, Lord, I'm ashamed of what I've done and I'm having a hard time receiving forgiveness, or this person did this to me and I had a hard time forgiving them. If that's you, would you do me a favor? With nobody looking around, would you just slip your hand up all across this place and say, Pastor, you're talking to me. Yes, 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 yes. Come on, don't you be afraid or embarrassed or ashamed. This is your moment of freedom. You're talking to me. I want to be free from this. I need His forgiveness. You can put your hands down. I'm going to pray specifically for you. And in the next few moments, I want to invite you to have a heart-to-heart conversation with your Father. He's shining the spotlight on that area of your life, and He's asking you, will you give me that? You don't get to choose the direction. It's yours to submit and say, okay, okay. I want to remind you, my friend, for those of you that have been hurt and you're having a hard time forgiving someone, that doesn't mean that what they did was right. What it means is that Jesus wants to deal with that. But let it first happen in your heart. Let's pray. Jesus, right now, Lord, we bring our shame and our unforgiveness. We lay it at your feet, knowing that you're the only one that can do the work in our hearts. Lord, I can't fix myself. I can't forgive myself. I can't forgive others unless you help me. I need your help. So Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come right now. Shine the spotlight on my heart. Shine the spotlight on these issues and help me today to give it to you and to let it go. Lord, I speak freedom for every soul held captive by shame and unforgiveness. I speak freedom right now to every hurting person. Freedom in the name of Jesus. I pray that they would have a great relationship with you with nothing standing in the way. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be, Lord. And now with heads bowed and eyes closed, perhaps you're here today and you're saying, Pastor Tim, if I'm going to be really honest with you, I don't have a relationship with Jesus at all. Maybe you've never asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, or maybe like me, you might have even been raised in church, but you know you've gotten away from God. And today is a day where you know it and I know it. Jesus knows it. You need to come home. You've been away from God for far too long. And today is a day where you say, Jesus, I'm all in. I'm back. My friend, if that's you, I want to invite you to pray a prayer with me right where you are. I'll tell you what to say. You can pray it out loud. You can pray it silently. It doesn't matter the method. The most important thing is that you mean it. So pray this with me. If you want a relationship with Jesus, or if you need to come home, pray this prayer with me right now. It goes like this. Just say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. And I believe that you came from heaven, you died on a cross, and you rose from the grave so that I could have life, so that I could have forgiveness for all of my sins. So forgive me. Forgive me. Now say this: I don't want to live my life my way anymore. I'm all in. I give my life to you. In Jesus' name. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, my friend, if that was you and you prayed that prayer, would you do me a favor? Would you just lift up your hand nice and high and proud all across this place? That was me. I see you. I see you. I see you. Good, good. I see you in the back. Good. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. I see you at the top. Good for you. My friend, if that was you and you raised your hand, I want you to know that behind me on this screen, there's a number appearing, and I want to invite you to text that number on the screen. If you're watching at home and you prayed that prayer, there's a number appearing on your screen. Text the words, "I prayed," to that number, and I'm going to send you back some things that will help you understand what just happened inside of your heart and what the Lord might want you to do next. It would be the greatest honor if you wouldn't mind letting me be part of your process and your walk with the Lord. It's an awesome thing, and I just want to be there to help you if that's okay. For everybody else, go ahead and stand to your feet if you would. Man, we already have 20 people responding to the gospel between first and second service. There's 9 in the first, there's 11 in the second. Let me just tell you, and Easter ain't even this week. Come on, somebody. That's awesome. 20 people taking a step of faith, taking that step towards the relationship with the Lord. And I love that when people respond to the gospel. Let me just tell you, we've got our elders and their wives coming forward. They're going to be here as the service finishes to be able to pray for you about anything that you might need prayer for. If you're needing prayer and you're watching online, man, type it in the chat. Say, "Hey, I need some prayer." We would love to pray for you. We still believe here, by the way. We still believe in the power of prayer. It still works. God still hears prayers. God still heals. He still delivers. What he has done, he still does. And we would love to be a part of your conversation with the Lord by praying for you today. For everybody else, I want to remind you, hey, Easter is next week. Don't come in here with a bad attitude because you didn't get your chair, you didn't get your favorite parking space. Let me say, give it up for a week. We're going to have an abbreviated service, but it's going to be powerful, and people are going to meet Jesus. Amen? It's going to be awesome. Let me pray for you and bless you as we send you out. Father, I thank you for my friends, and I pray that you help them have the greatest week they've ever had in their life, following after you all week long, in Jesus' name. And all of us said together, amen. God bless you as you go. Have a great week.
Thank you so much for listening in today. Our prayer is that you are encouraged and strengthened by the message. If you haven't done so yet, be sure to subscribe to this podcast and leave us a review wherever you're listening. If you want to be a part of our online community, connect with us through Facebook or Instagram with the handle @HighRidgeLV, or you can check out our website at highridgelv.com. Lastly, if this ministry has impacted your life and you'd like to support its work, visit highridgelv.com/give. We appreciate your support, and we're believing with you today for God's best in your life. Have an incredible week, and we will see you next time.